Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our Bible study series examines a specific part of God's Word of Truth. We pray that through this study, your faith will be built up and you will grow in your knowledge and understanding of God's Word through what you hear.
Welcome to Burden Blessing Podcast. I'm glad to have you with us here today as we rejoice in the opportunity to study and discuss God's Word. With me today is Pastor Ben Libby, and I myself am Neil Radical, pastor in Mankato. Ben's out in Tacoma, Washington. Thanks for meeting today as we study the book of Habakkuk. Great to see you and have you today here, Ben. How are you doing?
Doing pretty well, Neil. Really looking forward to getting into this book with you.
Awesome. Well, let's jump right in. Quick, tell me about Habakkuk the prophet and kind of a little bit of the background of the book or letter itself.
Well, you know, Habakkuk is kind of unique here, Neil. He's, a lot of the time, it's pretty standard, you know, for any prophet of the Lord. The job is pretty simple, okay? God tells these guys to go do something, and then they go and do it, right? God usually instructs one of these guys to go talk to someone in particular, either a ruler or a nation, and then the book is usually what God says to the prophet, and the prophet says it to the people, and thus says the Lord. But Habakkuk is a little different because it's not Habakkuk going to the people, but rather it's almost an inner dialogue between the prophet Habakkuk and the Lord. It's Habakkuk kind of talking to God, kind of pointing out, even going so far as to say complaining against God. And that's really the unique thing about Habakkuk, which you kind of don't see in other prophets, at least not to this extent.
Yeah, it reminds me similarly of Job's questioning or complaint. In the first... The way I've understood Habakkuk, please correct me if I'm wrong, you know, the three chapters we have there, the first two are about his complaint and kind of the situation, the Habakkuk's and the people's problems. You know, the people are being chastened by the Lord once again through the Babylonians, and Habakkuk's kind of at his wit's end, you know, as a prophet might be when trying to share the word of God to people that aren't listening. And so the first couple chapters are basically the problems and Habakkuk's complaint and, Lord, when are you going to answer? And there's some element of patience there. And like chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart watch to see what the Lord will say to me. And then he uses an interesting line, I will answer when I'm corrected. So what's nice about Habakkuk is he's waiting for the Lord's correction. Here's my thoughts, Lord. I stand ready for you to correct me, and I am trying to be patient with that, but the complaint, from what I understand, those first couple chapters is like, Lord, just please answer me. The people are not listening. I know the Babylonians are coming. You've told me this word. What do I do next? That's kind of the way I understand it.
Right. It's very relatable for us, right?
Yeah, yeah.
God, he expresses his will in his word. God says a lot of things, but there's still a lot about life that we don't always know. His, like you were saying, in Job, his ways are higher than our ways, and as God correctly pointed out to Job, where were you when I built the foundations of the earth? You know, where were you when I made the cosmos? And we can't understand always what God is doing. Kind of a crude analogy here, Neil. We're really... humans, no matter how smart you are, we're really playing checkers. God is playing chess. You know, all we can see is one diagonal movement after another. This is good, we want this. This is bad, we don't want that. But God is playing seven steps ahead, and it's not always clear to us what's going on here. He's working ahead. And you can see that with Habakkuk. Habakkuk did not understand what was going on here. Why was the Lord doing... There is all kinds of injustice in the land. If you read through chapter 1, that he has all these complaints. There's open violence going on. And then God says, don't worry, I'm going to send Babylon. And then Habakkuk's even more worried because he's like, what, Babylon? That's even worse than us. You're going to send this bad people to correct us? And God says... don't worry, I I know. Just settle down. I'm working ahead. And, you know, for us now, here in 2018, you know, we know what God was doing and why he did what he did. But to the people in the time, it was terrifying. And, you know, we got to realize God is looking at the big picture. We're just looking at the smallest picture.
Yeah, I think I like the way you brought that today, too, because we see definitely violence in our own midst, in our own nation, and we kind of wonder, Lord, where are you? Why aren't you protecting these things? And, you know, I wonder if this is what was going on in Habakkuk's time the same way. When people would draw themselves from God, he doesn't abandon them, but he tends to withdraw himself. Okay, you don't need me. I will take a step back. You know, I kind of think of that as a parent who does the same thing. A child is foolishly acting this way or that and says, nope, I can do it on my own. I can do it. I don't need you. Okay, we're going to let you do that, you know, within a safe distance, but we're going to take a back seat a little bit. We'll see how well it goes for you on your own. Mm-hmm. I think the Lord treats our own nation today in that similar way that he was doing with Habakkuk, saying, okay, you want to do things on your own, I will give you that leeway and we'll see how it goes for you. And the Babylonians, he did not restrain them. They came over and did their job and conquered, you know, the nation and brought about a lot of captivity and destruction and death, and the people learned some valuable lessons. You know, there's some interesting comparisons here that I was curious what your thoughts were on, like especially in chapter 2 again. I know I don't want to necessarily drag over or go over 1. Mm-hmm. I say drag because I was looking at this dragnet part in the end of chapter 1, but just to kind of focus on the Lord speaking through Habakkuk to the people. In other words, he says, I want you to write this. This is what I want you to tell the people, and I want you to make it crystal clear. But he goes into this series of, like, woes and judgment, and, like, how do you understand that?
Okay, so kind of like you were saying before, Neil, chapter 2 kind of opens up. Habakkuk has just aired these grievances, if you will, against God. You're doing this, you're doing this, why? And then as you pointed out, he says, I'm going to stand on the rampart and I'm going to wait to get corrected because I know I'm going to get corrected here. And that's exactly what God does. He tells him, okay, Habakkuk, write this down, make it very plain. The book says that he who runs may read it. It's not easy to read things when you're running. You're shaking, you know, not ideal reading conditions. But so he wants it to be so clear that anyone who's even running past, like, a sign would be able to read this message. And what does he say? For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And that, of course,
explain that some more.
That last part, obviously, it gets quoted in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Paul uses it. He doesn't use the article his there. The just simply shall live by faith. And it's a theme that gets brought up over and over again in the New Testament. And it's kind of the crystal, I guess, if I could single out one thing about Habakkuk, that's really the gospel right there. What does it mean to be just? And what does it mean to live by faith? And really, if you think about it, we're not just. We are the opposite of just. We're sinful, right? So does this apply to us? Well, yes, it does, because not only we are just because of what our Savior did. We were justified just as if I had never sinned. And we believe in that Savior by faith. So, you know, it's a really important message. Don't be proud. Your soul's not going to be upright, but just live by faith.
Nice. Yeah, I think, you know, and it's interesting that it comes right before all the woes. Mm-hmm. Woes of warning, really, right? Like you were saying, here's what's going to come. Here's what you shouldn't be proud in. Watch out for these things. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what you're going to tell the people. So if chapter 1 and 2 are about Habakkuk's complaint and then waiting and hearing the Lord's response, you know, here's the problem. Here's the complaint. Here's how he's waiting. Here's the Lord's response. Chapter 3, then, to my understanding, focuses more on Habakkuk's basically response to the Lord. It's like a, it's almost like a prayer, a hymn, or a song. In fact, I think it says at the very end of Habakkuk that it's to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. So it's almost like his response is a, he's writing a song of praise that the Lord has. Almost like I think of David, mm-hmm. where David would write psalms and songs in response to God's interaction in his life. Mm. You know, response to prayer, responding to events that were out of David's control. A psalm would be written mm-hmm. under inspiration of the Lord in that way. So I see it was interesting to me. I don't know. Are you aware of any other prophets that do songs quite like this? Or I'm not thinking of any.
I think you could classify Jeremiah, right? Because of Lamentations. I don't know what kind of, you know, those are kind of like dirges. I don't know exactly, you know, what kind of music that would have been set to. But it is thought of that it's speculated that perhaps Habakkuk was a music player because of that last verse that you read. He puts it to stringed instruments. And I do think it's, you know, it is really interesting just how the message, well, we have a special word for it in the Old Testament prophets, the burden of Habakkuk gets kind of expressed. You can kind of see it as an arc, and it's one that's very, I think, Neil, very relatable for us too. He has this complaint, he's questioning God, and then God comes and says, hey, this is what's going on. This is why this is like this. I'm going to use this, what you see as just straight evil, I'm going to use that to good, to better my kingdom. And then chapter 3, Habakkuk is praising God and saying, I understand. I don't understand in human terms, but I know that you've heard me, and I'm going to listen to what you say now. And it's just, it's a really good way of kind of understanding our relationship with our God. Yes, you know, we do sometimes have problems with seeing what's going on, but you can always be sure, you can always put your trust and your confidence in the Lord. A very interesting thing, you know, Habakkuk, that name, don't hear of many Habakkuks nowadays. It just, his name means to cling, and that is what he does here at the end. He clings to the promise of the Lord, and he remembers that the Lord is indeed merciful.
I like the way you summarize that. It made me think of the last three verses. I actually preached on this for Thanksgiving, the last three verses of it, because I preached on it before for Thanksgiving, but it just fit well with this year and that we've gone through Habakkuk not too long ago. And I love the way you describe it, because I feel like the last three verses, although the verse 4, like you said, chapter 2, the just shall live by faith, is certainly the theme of the whole, like you just said, what Habakkuk means, his faith, he clung to the Lord. I like the last three verses because it shows the problem and it shows the solution and the trust, because he says, you know, no matter what happens, verse 17 of chapter 3, the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, nor the labor of the olive, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. In other words, verse 17 is like, if everything goes poorly, if you get conquered, if you lose all your wealth, no matter what happens in your life, he says in the last two verses, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will join the God of my salvation. And then verse 19 says, Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high hills. In other words, he will be upright in heart. He will be joyful and happy no matter what kind of problem or calamity goes through. Yet through all these things, I will still rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because he's the God of my salvation. He's the God who's lived and died for me, who promised me, well, Habakkuk's day promises me a Savior that's going to come for sin first, primarily, and then for the promise of eternal life, that kind of salvation and deliverance. So, you know, a lot to be rejoiceful and thankful for, because he's the God of our salvation.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, if you read this book, you can see, like you were saying, the woes. There's a lot of woes in this book. There's a lot of example of evil and wrong going on in the world. But yeah, like you kind of mentioned there at the end of chapter 3, that is a very positive message, right? It's that no matter what, if things get so bad, if all the worst case scenarios that I'm afraid of actually occur, guess what? God is still there, and I will rejoice in the Lord. He is my salvation. Can you kind of explain a little bit, Neil? I kind of just glanced over it. Can we really focus in here on verse 4? How do you, I know that, like, Martin
from chapter Luther, 3?
Yeah, from chapter 2, the just shall live by faith. Sure. I know that when Luther was reading that, it really opened up his eyes to God and who and what God is. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Well, was Luther reading Habakkuk or Romans? Or was it Galatians? I thought it was Romans, but
I think it might have been. Yeah.
Again, they're all the same verse, basically. You know, I thought he uses it in Galatians too. But you know, as far as what he was thinking with that is that, for me, it's. I think his understanding was freedom. You know, it's freedom from. It's living by faith and not by oppression of the law, where I have to do these things in order to be in God's good standing. You imagine any relationship, earthly relationship. Let's just take our friendship for example. Mm-hmm. What kind of friendship would we have if we said, you know what, Ben's only going to be a friend with me if I send him gifts. He's only going to be a friend of me if I compliment him all the time. He's only going to be a friend of me if I call him every day and I'm always attentive to him. And what I think what's freeing about that is that, no, it's not about what I'm doing for him. It's a friendship because of the bond we have as brothers in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so the just shall live by faith to me is understanding that, like you said a little bit earlier, the just are the believers in God who believe that our relationship has been reconciled by Christ and his blood alone. We live by that reconciliation. It's our ministry of reconciliation, that it's not a relationship we have to earn approval for or earn, but it's one that's given to us by grace, and we live justified, like you said, mm-hmm. in that grace and that approval of God. So it's life, it's a living by faith, living in that freedom that we've been set free from the law. That's why I think it was so special to Luther, because he not, you know, talk about feelings, he felt that load of sin lifted in seeing these kinds of verses that became crystal clear to him that he was living by faith in Christ's work and not his own work, and that he was just in God's eyes because of the work of Christ, not his own.
Right, right. And I think, too, it goes to show you just kind of how you think of faith, right? Faith is the evidence of the things which are not seen. And you can't see faith. But what does that mean? The just shall live by faith. Specifically here in the context, I mean, it has really wide implications on the gospel, on, you know, God's whole message. But here specifically in Habakkuk, he's saying here, okay, you gotta trust me. You know, I am God. The just live by faith. You can have faith in all kinds of different things, Neil. I can have faith in the government. I could have faith in the banks. But at the end of the day, you need to have faith in the right person. And faith in God is the only faith that really does anything for you, because God is holy. He is righteous. He's never going to let you down. The just living by faith means that believers live by God, trust in God. Yes, sometimes it is hard to see why there are certain things going on in this sin-cursed earth, and why is it this way? Why? And you know, Habakkuk thought the same thing. Why is injustice going to be still being here, God? Why are you letting this happen? God says, guess what? I got a plan. I'm going to fix it. Habakkuk, relieved? No, it's the Babylonians. Oh man, that's even worse. But God has a plan. The just shall live by faith. Live by your faith. Believe that God has a plan for you, and he has your best interest truly at mind, and he's gonna do what is in your best interest, whether you can see it or not.
Yeah, you know, it's awesome. You know what it makes me think of is, yeah, there's a depth to these few short chapters that's like the depth of Job, but in a shorter amount of time, which,
yeah,
is kind of nice. It's like the short version of Job in some ways. So as we wrap up here, one of the things I was thinking about asking you, or maybe I'll try to do it myself first.
Okay.
But, okay, so we both have kids, and so the idea is one of our younger kids asks us, hey, Dad, what's Habakkuk all about? Or, you know, maybe they have me pronounce it wrong.
Yeah.
You know, what would be our, you know, kids' attention spans these days? We can't really do what we just did for this podcast and go into a long, in-depth explanation of Habakkuk. So what would be our short one-minute summary that has childlike applications of Habakkuk? I'm setting this challenge up before us, before anybody else who might be listening to this. Mm-hmm. How do we summarize these kind of questions that someone asks us? What's that about? I can't even pronounce the word. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't read Habakkuk ever. I read it a long time ago. I don't remember. What's a quick summary of that? So,
I guess I can start, Neil. I don't know if this is going to be where you're going, and I don't know if you got a timer out or anything, but I guess Habakkuk, just think, that name, Habakkuk, very unique name. What does it mean? It means to cling. Cling to God and his word and his promise. And that is essentially what Habakkuk does. You got to realize that he shares misgivings that we might have. But at the end of the day, you know, God is in control. And I'm going to cling to his promise, to his love, to our Savior, and trust that he's going to do what is best for me, and cling to that, and no matter how you feel, you're going to be okay.
I like the way you said that, too. I don't know if I've said it any way differently. You know, I'm thinking about saying to my own children, maybe my only illustration of everything you said so well would be, you know how you cling to me when you're scared? Mm. That's what Habakkuk's doing with the Lord here. He's waiting for the Lord's response. He's in faith, clinging to the Lord, trusting him, just like you said, and just praying it's going to all be okay, knowing that this judgment is coming. I know that this tough time is coming for him and his Christian family, so to speak. You know, so I really like the way you explained the clinging to there. I think that's a great way to explain what Habakkuk is all about, and rightly named by God for that purpose.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Well, as always, Ben, I really enjoy discussing these, going into these studies with this. We see the anointed one, the messianic savior in this through Habakkuk, what he's looking forward to, the song he sings about it. Fantastic book of the Bible, one that's very easily overlooked. And I really appreciated the opportunity today to go in depth into it with you. So thank you for your time.
Yeah, and I guess just to kind of give the listeners something to go before they go. Like you said, Neil, a very short book, 3 chapters long. It doesn't take very long to read through Habakkuk. Just now that you have listened to this, go back in, take a look at it, see where Habakkuk starts the book and then where he finishes, and see that kind of dynamic journey that, you know, the believer kind of goes through. Yes, and we kind of keep going through that as well. You know, it kind of circulates through our life, is that, you know, we always trust God, but really? And then God says, yep. And you go, okay. So that's kind of, you know, that's just kind of the cycle that keeps going on. And yeah, just read through it. It won't take you long. And it is a very edifying book. Like you said, there's a lot of depth in these 3 chapters.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for your time again. Thanks for joining us on burdenandblessing.org. Please continue to listen, subscribe to our podcast, share the ones that you are interested in sharing with other people. Maybe there's something specifically where you want to point this out to someone about how the just shall live by faith, you know, how we grow in that faith and trust in the Lord no matter what challenges we face. So we're hopeful that this was edifying to you. We're praying so, and we hope that you'll listen to us again in the future. Lord be with you and comfort you through that faith that we live by in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
We hope that you will join us again next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast as we continue to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Until next time, take confidence in your Savior's promise that he will always be with you, even to the end of the world.